Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at one verse of Scripture. That will be verse number 18. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to speak to you this morning on the will of God. The will of God. What is the will of God for your life? Before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for this morning. Lord, we thank you for life and strength. We thank you for your word. We thank you for all of these folks who've come this morning. We thank you for the songs that we've been able to sing and to enjoy and hear, Lord, and how we've been blessed by them. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and assemble together. You said in your word, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And Lord, we believe that you're with us. This morning, we want to talk about you. We want to meditate about you. We want to love you, and we do love you. I pray that you would be with us this morning and help us to learn something from your word, and you would impart knowledge and wisdom and understanding to it. Give me the words to speak, and I will thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. I want to speak to you this morning on the will of God. Verse number 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I think that a lot of times Christians in their lives, they're looking for the will of God. They're trying to find out what the will of God is. They're thinking about it. They're pondering about it. They're searching for it. They're thinking, what is God's will for my life? What does he want me to do? Where does he want me to go? What does God have for me? What is God's will for my life? I think that too many times, as Christians, we're thinking maybe in too big. We're thinking in something too major. You know, we're thinking more in a grand scheme of things. You know, God has this will for my life, and it's going to be a missionary to Africa. That's God's will for my life. I'm searching for that. Is that what God wants me to do? Does God want me to be the pastor of a church? Does God want me to move to China and be a missionary over there? Does God want me to be a pastor's wife? Is that God's will for my life? Does God want me to be a deacon in the church? God has something, and we're thinking, and man, we're thinking it's something big, it's something grand, something important, and all the while, I believe that God's will is pretty much right there in front of our face. Now, if God is calling you to do that, I'm not saying that God doesn't call people to preach and God doesn't call people to be missionaries. I believe that he does, and if God is calling you to do that, I believe that you ought to do that. You ought to pursue God's calling in your life, no matter what it might be. If he's calling you to China or Africa or wherever it's at, by all means, do it. You know, do that. That is God's will for your life. But I think that too many times we're thinking too big. We're thinking too grand and all of these things. But the will of God can be found in your everyday life. The will of God can be found in your job. The will of God can be found in your relationships, in your marriage, in your children. All of those everyday mundane things that you think are so boring and so pointless and so boring, that's where the will of God is found at in your life. Those things that you don't think are very important, that's where you're going to find the will of God in your life. You don't have to do all the big things. You don't have to have a platform ministry. You don't have to do all of that in order to find the will of God in your life. It is found in the small things. It's something that is simple. It is found in the simple actions of life. That's where the will of God is found at, and that's where you can find it. Paul the Apostle is being very simple here in his verse. He doesn't name all of those big things. He doesn't say all of those big things. He says, the will of God for you is to give thanks in everything. And so we kind of think about that, we yawn and say, okay, what else is there? There's nothing else. Just be thankful. Be thankful in everything. God has a will for our life, and it is in simplistic terms. Paul the Apostle, in the same book, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 18, he says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That's something simple right there. He says the will of God for your life is not to engage in sexual activity outside of marriage between a man and a woman. That's a simple thing right there. And you say, well, that's not right, because don't you know we live in America and we're free and everyone's doing that? I mean, everyone's just kind of moving in together and doing sexual immorality however they want to do it. Don't you know that we live in this enlightened society and we live in America? Paul would disagree with you, and so would God. He would say you need to wait till you get married, and then you have those sexual relations. You don't do it outside of marriage, and you don't do it outside of a man and a woman. It's just a man and a woman, one man, one woman together forever. That's God's plan. That's what it is. And so we don't interpret the Bible in light of American society. Amen. We don't say, well, America's doing this, so therefore God must have meant this in the Word of God, and so therefore I can be promiscuous and I can do whatever I want to do with my body. No, we obey the Word of God no matter what America decides to do. Amen. I mean, what if you moved over to China? Would you do the same thing? Interpret the Bible through the lens of the Chinese society? We can't do that. The Bible doesn't change, and it doesn't change for the Thessalonian believers here, and so it doesn't change for us. And the will of God is very simple for our lives. Again, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2, tells us that we can discern the will of God for our lives by conforming our thinking to the gospel that we believe and not to the world's way of thinking. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not going to find the will of God by going outside of the Bible. You're not going to find it, because then you are not doing the will of God. And that doesn't change with giving thanks. We must give thanks in everything. That is the will of God for our life. Now, we might want to complain. We might want to gripe. We might want to do all of those things, but we must be thankful. The Thanksgiving for the Christian is a different kind of Thanksgiving than the rest of the world. Now, today or this Thursday, when you have Thanksgiving, you're going to flip on the TV and you'll probably see the Macy's Day Parade and all, everyone's celebrating Thanksgiving. But I don't think that anybody is going to be thankful to God. They're going to be talking about Thanksgiving and being thankful and all of this, but it's going to be kind of a generic kind of giving of thanks. And no one's going to mention God. No one's going to mention Jesus Christ. They're just going to say, well, we are thankful, but that's not Christian Thanksgiving. Christian Thanksgiving is giving thanks to God, because God is the one who has given us all of the blessings. Everything that we have comes from God. And so we must give God all of the thanksgiving. And he says, in everything give thanks. Not just in the things that you like or I might like, but in everything give thanks. The Thanksgiving for the Christian is a divine giving of thanks. It's different than the world's. So this morning I want to give you three divine attributes of Christian Thanksgiving. Number one, we want to look at the scope of Thanksgiving for the Christian. Number two, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And number three, the supply of thanksgiving. Number one is the scope of thanksgiving. How much should we give thanks? Should it stop at the things that we like or we don't like? Should it stop, our thanksgiving stop, whenever things happen in our lives that we don't like, or things, circumstances might be unfavorable to us? And things just happen in our life that we don't like, and so therefore our thanksgiving stops at that point. Oh yeah, we can give thanks whenever things are going good in our lives, whenever we have plenty of money in the bank, we've got plenty of friends, we've got plenty of health, and Man, everything's just going great, and thank God. But as Brother Butler has said many times, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He says in the verse, he says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. That's not easy. That's very difficult, as a matter of fact. I'm not up here standing up here saying, well, anybody can do that, because we're going to find out here in just a minute, not everyone can do that. In everything, give thanks. Now, Paul is writing to a group of people here. Things were not going good in their lives. They did not live in America. They didn't have iPhones and, you know, Netflix and everything else and, you know, air conditioning and running water, indoor plumbing. They didn't have any of that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, they were being persecuted for their faith. Things were not going well for them. They were experiencing persecution, and Paul mentions this a few times in his letter to them. Chapter 1 and verse number 6, he says that you receive the word in much affliction. They're being persecuted for being a Christian simply because of their faith. People didn't like them, and they were being thrown into prison and all kinds of other awful things simply for being a Christian, and they received that word in affliction. Chapter 2 and verse number 14, he says, you suffered like things of your own countrymen. People in their country were coming to them, and they were hurting them in some way. And so things were not going a whole lot well for them. So Paul sent Timothy to them to strengthen them in their faith and to help them, because he knew that they were having trouble in their persecution. He says in chapter 3, verses 3 to 4, that God had appointed this affliction upon them. He says, you are appointed to this suffering. Now, that might seem kind of harsh to you and I, but God had allowed this stuff to come into their lives, this persecution that it was happening in their lives. He says, you are appointed to this. Jesus Christ told his disciples, he says, don't be surprised if the world hates you because they hated me. You can expect some persecution. You can expect people to hate you. And so things weren't going good in their lives for their faith. No one liked them for being a Christian. They're being thrown into prison. But yet he writes to them and says, in everything, give thanks. Things weren't going good in their personal lives as well. They were suffering the loss of people in their lives. People were dying. They were losing family members. He says in chapter 4, verse number 13, he says, I don't want you to sorrow like other people sorrow. You have hope as a Christian. Yeah, you might be losing some family members. People might be dying in your family, but I'm writing to encourage you, hey, in everything, give thanks. There is a bright side to the Christian life. So Paul was exhorting them to comfort one another and help one another and to show them that, yeah, there is a coming resurrection, and you're not going to experience the wrath of God from the coming day of the Lord. He says there is some comfort for the Christian. So Paul is exhorting them and trying to help them in the struggles of their life. So they weren't under the best circumstances. They were having problems. They were having problems in their relationships with one another. And they were trying to work out details in their relationships and how to deal with one another. So how are they supposed to keep their sanity at times like this, with things going wrong in their lives? When such anxiety could creep up in their hearts and they could just throw in the towel and quit becoming a Christian, leave the faith because, hey, people don't like us around here. So let's just quit. Let's quit being Christians. They could be imprisoned at any time. What was Paul's solution? Run and hide? No, he says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. He says, hey, go ahead and give thanks anyway. Well, they could have complained. They could have questioned God and said, hey, this is not right. Does God not know that we're down here on planet Earth and these things are happening to us? But Paul says, hey, you were appointed to this. God has brought this into your life. And there is a reason for your suffering and for your pain and the things that you're going through. And he says, in everything, give thanks. Things aren't always going to go right for the Christian. Your life is not, and my life is not always going to be the best that it can be by human standards. God will allow things to come into our lives, and he has a reason for it. You think about the Old Testament prophet Daniel. Daniel was a man who served God and loved God, and he was a faithful man to God. But yet God allowed him to be taken captive by a Babylonian king and carried off to a foreign land, and he had to serve under that king. And Daniel was still faithful through all of that. But then God allowed servants of Darius to come in and accuse Daniel of some things. And threatened to throw him into the lion's den. Do you know what Daniel did? Daniel didn't throw up his hands and say, "Oh my goodness, the sky's falling. Let's get out of here. Let's go. God must have abandoned me. God must not love me anymore. He's allowing these men to form a conspiracy against me and lie against me so that I can get thrown into the den of lions." Daniel didn't do that. You know what Daniel did? The Bible says that Daniel opened up his window and prayed towards Jerusalem three times a day, as he had always done in the past. Amen. And he gave thanks to God just like he had always done. Amen. Daniel didn't go, "Man, God must not love me anymore." No, he said, "I'm still going to give thanks to God no matter what happens." You and I cannot always control our circumstances. There's going to be things that are going to come into our life that are really unfavorable and we really don't like, that we cannot control. But you know what we can control? The way that we respond to those circumstances. We can control that. So life can get pretty rough and pretty rocky. At some point, you and I are going to suffer loss. We are going to lose a loved one. We're not always going to have the health that we always have right now. Things are going to come into our lives, and God will allow those things to come into our lives. Hey, you know what? We might not always have the freedom that we have in the United States of America. They're going to turn against Christianity. We're not always going to have that same kind of freedom. What are we going to do then? Are we going to stop? We're going to say that it's God's fault? We're going to question God? We can't do that. We have to go forward in spite of those things. The answer is, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, "Well, that's a difficult task. How am I supposed to do that? What am I supposed to do? Man, that is a sacrifice that I'm going to have to make." Because it's real easy to give thanks whenever everything's going good, but when things are going bad, I'm supposed to give thanks. That's a sacrifice. You're exactly right. It is a sacrifice. He says in the verse, "In everything, give thanks." Did you know that giving thanks is something that you have to give? That you have to let go of? You might not want to do it, but you have to do it anyway. In everything, give thanks. That's a sacrifice to give thanks to God in every situation of life, in every circumstance of life. It is a sacrifice because things are not always going to go good for us. There's many ways that we could respond. What could we do? We could complain. We could get mad and we could get angry, respond in rage and anger against God. We could look on the dim side of life or on the negative side of life and say, "Look, things just aren't going well for me. God must not know about my situation, my circumstances going on." We could do all of those things. Or we could respond in thanksgiving as we are told to do. That's the Christian response. In everything, give thanks. If you're going to give thanks to God, you have to let go of some things because it is a sacrifice. And a sacrifice is letting go of some things that you hold very near and dear to you. And that's what Christian sacrifice and thanksgiving is. It's a sacrifice. What are you going to have to let go of? You're going to have to let go of some situations in your life because there's going to come some situations in your life that you can't control. You can't take it by the helm and you can't steer it like a car. Things are going to come into your life and you're going to have to let go of that situation. Because we as people, we are prone, and our thought process is, man, we are the controller of our destinies. We are the controller of our lives and we can take care of it. But there's going to be some times that you just can't. You just can't. So you're going to have to let go of that and say, "Okay, God, you are in control of this situation. I am giving it to you. It belongs to you. And that's a sacrifice because we want to take care of it and we want to hold on to it. So you're going to have to let go of some situations in your life. You're going to have to place it in God's hands and let Him take it and trust Him. Did you know that's an expression of your faith? Whenever you let go of it and you say, God, it is yours. It's yours. That's a sacrifice. You know what else you're going to have to let go of? You're going to have to let go of your pride. And I'm going to have to let go of my pride. Because a lot of times we look at God and we say, hey, look, God, look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished in my life. Look at all the things that I have done. That makes us feel good. We want to do that. But you know what we have to say? No, God did that. God is the one who has given me these blessings. You have to let go of that pride. You know what else we might want to say sometimes? We might want to gripe and complain to God and say, look, God, this isn't fair. These things that are happening in my life, it's not fair. You know what that is? That's pride. That's pride. You're saying to God, you're saying, hey, God, you don't know what's going on in my life. You're not a very good judge. You're not a very good God. If you were a good God, you wouldn't let these things come into my life. And that's nothing but pride. And you're going to have to let go of that pride and say, look, God is a righteous judge. And He knows what's going on in my life. You're going to have to let go of that pride. It says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Is that what you brag about? Hey, I know the Almighty God, and He knows me. You know what God says about Himself? That I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness and judgment. God knows what He's doing. He's all righteous and He's all knowing and He's all powerful. And He knows exactly what's going on in our lives. And how dare us point our finger at God and say, you don't know what you're doing. Nothing but pride and arrogance. We're going to have to let go of that. Got to let go of it. You know what else you have to let go of? If you're going to sacrifice the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, you're going to have to let go of that burden of worry that you carry around with you and I carry around with me. Next time you go out and take out the garbage and you've got that sack of garbage in your hand, you're walking across the backyard to go and throw that thing in the dumpster wherever you go, I want you to ask yourself this question. How long are you willing to carry around that bag of garbage with you? Because it's going to get heavy after a while. You're going to look at that thing and you're going to say, man, I can't wait to go and dump this in the trash because it sure is heavy. And I'm getting tired of carrying it. You know, worry is a lot like that bag of garbage you carry around with you, and it's a big old weight and a burden that you have to carry. I want you to think about this next time. How long am I willing to carry around this bag of worry and garbage with me? You know what we need to do? Unload it on the Lord. Unload it on the Lord. Don't carry around that burden no more. Let go of it. Let go of it. Give it to God, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. We weren't designed to carry around the kind of worries and the burdens that we have as people. That's why God is there. And God is a good God. You're going to have to let go of that. You know how you let go of worry and burden, that burden that you have? In everything, give thanks. Give thanks. It's a sacrifice. Yeah, I know it's a sacrifice because we want to carry it. And we think, man, if I worry enough, then things will get better. No. The only thing that's going to happen is you're just going to get sadder and you're going to get more burdened down and more burdened down. And all the while, God is right there and He's waiting for you. Hebrews 13:15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. We give thanks to God in everything. It's a sacrifice. Sacrifice. So we're supposed to give God the sacrifice of thanksgiving in everything. Boy, it's hard. It's hard. And you ask yourself, you say, how am I supposed to do that? Why would God ask me to do something that I can't do? Why would He have me to give thanks in every situation and He knows that I'm weak and He knows that I can't do it? Why would He do that? Did you know that we can? We can. We have a supply from God Himself that will help us to give thanks in everything. The verse says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did you get the words in Christ Jesus? We can do this. Now, giving thanks in everything is not a natural response that anybody can do. Most people want to gripe and complain. Giving thanks in bad situations is not what most people do. That's not the natural response of the natural man outside of the grace of God and the mercy of God. It's not. But we can. The child of God has the support and the enablement to be able to give thanks to God in everything. We have the strength from God to be able to do and give thanks to God in everything in Christ. In Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul uses this phrase over and over again, in Christ. And when he uses that, he is communicating the idea that it's not something that we can accomplish in and of ourselves, but it is God accomplishing that in us through Jesus Christ. We can give thanks in everything in Christ. Paul uses this phrase many, many times in Ephesians chapter number 1. I'll read you one verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings that you and I have are found in Christ. There is not something special about you that is going to make you more able to give thanks to God in everything. You're not going to be able to look at yourself and say, man, it's because of my reputation that I have, or my stoic personality, that I can push forward and give thanks to God in everything. That is not what makes you be able to give thanks to God in everything. That just produces more self-righteousness and more pride in your heart when we do that. When we look inside of ourselves and say, hey, man, it's in there. It's inside of me and I can do it because, man, I'm just that strong. I'm just that good. I'm just that special. Looking in the wrong place.
Right.
Looking in the wrong place. Yeah. We have the ability to give thanks to God in everything in Christ. God is accomplishing that through us in Christ. Did you gain your salvation through yourself, or was it in Christ? It was in Christ. And the ability to give thanks in everything is found in Christ. So we can't look to ourselves and find out that we have somehow have this strength within us. We think about the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter number 19. The rich young ruler didn't want to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ told him, you need to sell all your goods, come and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And he walked away because he was sorrowful because he had great possessions, and he didn't want to give up those things. Boy, his disciples looked at him and they said, man, Jesus, if he can't be saved, if a rich man can't be saved, who then can be saved? And Jesus Christ said, well, with men, those things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. How can you and I give thanks in everything? Well, with God, all things are possible. Not with you and I, but with God, all things are possible. How could a woman who's never known a man have a child? How could God become flesh through the womb of the Virgin Mary? How could that happen? With God, all things are possible. How could mere men who are so prone to seek their own comfort and their own welfare, who are prone to rely on their own strength, who are prone to complain, who are prone to pride, be thankful in everything? With God, all things are possible. Do you know that's already happened in the past? There's already been somebody here that walked upon this earth and that lived a sinless life and never complained, not one time, and he always gave thanks. Amen. In everything. Yes, and that was our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ came and walked upon this earth. He lived and died as a man. He died upon a cross, put the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet. He didn't complain one time. The Bible says when he reviled not again. He didn't try to take revenge. Perfect God-man came and lived and died for us. and he always gave thanks in everything. So the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, Jesus Christ lived this way, so therefore we ought to live this way and follow our Lord Jesus Christ and not complain and not gripe, but to give thanks in everything and obey the authorities, even though we may not like those authorities. So when we're tempted to sin or complain or gripe, we remember the cross. We remember the gospel. We remember our Savior. We remember that we have been healed spiritually, and so therefore we can give thanks in everything. God begins his work in us through the Holy Spirit. So therefore we have the power, we have the supply to be able to go forward and to give thanks in everything that the rest of the world knows nothing about. Yes, we can do that. We can do that. In Christ, we can do that. Yes, we can. So God has to enter the equation of the human experience, because apart from God and apart from his Holy Spirit and his grace, you and I can't do that. But how often do we rely upon ourselves? We get into hard situations and we don't even think about God. We don't even think about the cross. We don't think about the gospel. And so therefore our attitude goes sour and our thoughts go where they ought not go, and we start to complain and gripe. And then those things control the rest of our lives and the rest of our day. Why? We didn't think about the cross. That's a difficult task. Many times I fail to give thanks to God in everything. But every failure that I've made is a failure to remember the cross and to remember the gospel of our salvation. The cross reminds us, and it allows us to be thankful to God in every situation. We think about Jesus Christ. We think about what happened to him on the cross. We think about how he was crucified for our sins. We think about how people spit in his face and they put a crown of thorns upon his head. They mocked him and they scourged him. They put him on trial illegally. They did all of these things to Jesus Christ, and he was not a guilty man. He was the only innocent, pure, righteous man, human being that ever walked upon the face of the earth. And then they took him down off that cross and they put him in a borrowed tomb. And he died. Jesus did. But the good news is that he's risen from the dead. He now is interceding for his church. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And so you and I rejoice over that, don't we? We rejoice over the crucifixion, over the death of Jesus Christ, over the Son of God. We rejoice over that. And we are thankful for it. You know what that tells us? You know why we rejoice over the death of Christ? Because something good came out of something that was horrific. A horrific death brought life in us and brought eternal life and hope. The only reason that we're here and we have any hope of eternal life is because of what happened on Golgotha 2,000 years ago, and we rejoice over that. Why don't we have the same attitude about things that happen in our lives? Things come into our lives and they are not good. They're bad circumstances. But we look at the cross and we know that good things come from bad situations and bad circumstances. And we know that God is in control, and we can be thankful in every situation, in every circumstance, because we are Christians and because we remember the gospel. But we forget the gospel sometimes. And so Paul the Apostle wrote to the believers at Rome in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, and he says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we can have hope as a Christian, because we know that good things come out of bad situations. Yes, God allows those things to come into our lives, but we know that something good is coming from it because we are Christians. And so therefore, we can give thanks in everything. Do you have that faith in Jesus Christ? Do you believe the gospel? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Is he your Lord? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? One of these days when you pass this life and you have to stand before God and you have to give an account of yourself, will you be able to point to Jesus Christ and say,
He is my Savior. I trust Him wholly and completely. It is not in myself, but it is in Jesus Christ. Will you be able to do that? Because if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, the risen Christ as your Savior, you will not go to heaven. You will go to hell, and you will burn there for eternity. You must have Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate judge. He will be sitting on the throne one day. Is He your Savior? If He's not your Savior, I encourage you and I implore you today to throw yourself upon the mercy of Jesus Christ and go to Jesus Christ and trust Him. Trust Him for salvation. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in something that you are doing. Nothing like that. Only trust in Jesus Christ. Only in Him and Him alone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father,
we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. We thank You, God, for the help and the strength that You give us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to remember the gospel, remember what You've done for us, and know that You are in control and that You work in every situation to bring about our good through all of those situations, to be thankful in everything. Father, thank You for salvation. Thank You, Lord, for the cross. Thank You for the grace and the mercy that You've given to us. Thank You, Lord. We pray that You'd bless this invitation and bless the time to come. We'll pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.